Beth and I were joking around the other day, and I was telling her that I was perfect, and she wasn't. And of course, that's a joke. We tease about that every once in a while because everyone knows I'm not perfect, and I certainly know that. But I began to think, well, how do you know if you're doing what God wants you to do if you're not perfect? If you know you're not perfect, there are things that you need to improve on and work on in your life. Well, how do you know that you're doing what God wants you to do? And so I began thinking about this lesson. I'm very excited to bring it to you this morning and for us to study together, because I think you'll be greatly encouraged and edified and uplifted as we go to God's Word this morning to answer the question, are you doing what God wants you to do? First of all, as we begin our lesson from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, as Rick has already read, John says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If you are a faithful Christian this morning, you are walking in the light, and you are doing what God wants you to do. And we are walking in the light, verse 3, because we have fellowship with the apostles, what they have written here in the Word of God. And because of that, we then have fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior, and His blood cleanses us. And because of that, we are walking in the light, verse 7. Some years ago, when I was a little boy, we had company over for a weekend or for a week or something like that, and a lot of us kids were sleeping in the living room. And it was in the middle of the night, it was as dark as could be, and I had to get up and go to the bathroom. And so I got up, and we lived in this house a number of years, and I'm feeling around for a light switch or a doorway to get out of this room, and I couldn't find anything. Finally, I made my way back to my little pallet or something where I was sleeping, and I just had to wait till the sun came up so I could see where in the world I was going. And as Christians, we are walking in the light. We see where we are going. We see the things that are set before us. We see the obstacles that are before us because we're walking in the light. John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You are walking in the light, and therefore the end of your walk is eternal life. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so you're on this walk in life, walking in the light, and the end of that walk is the Father in heaven. Walking in the light, you therefore practice the truth. Now let me share with you just a couple of scriptures very quickly. And these also are from 1 John. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You are not lying. You are practicing the truth because you do have fellowship with Him and you do walk in the light. 1 John 2:29, If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of Him. And that's what you're doing. You're practicing righteousness. And we'll talk about this word practice a little bit as we go on. This doesn't mean you never make a mistake. It means that your habitual way of life, the way that you try to live and you strive to live is righteousness. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You're not practicing sin. You're not practicing lawlessness. That's not your habitual way of life. That's not what you are trying and striving to do, but you are walking in the light, striving and trying to the very best of your ability to do those things which are right before God. Now turn your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 3, and beginning in verse 7. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. You are born of God. Verse 7, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. So you are righteous, walking in the light, having fellowship with the apostles through the word of God, and therefore fellowship with God and his Son. His blood cleanses you from all sins those times when you do make mistakes. As you repent and turn back to God, his blood cleanses you. Now, verse 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. So you are walking in the light. Yes, can you improve in your life? Certainly you can. Can I improve in my life? Certainly I can. I'm not perfect. I'm working every day. I'm striving every day, but I'm walking in the light. I'm not practicing sin. That's not my habitual way of life. I am practicing righteousness and striving every day to get better. Yes, I am doing what God wants me to do, and you are too. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, if you say you're perfect, you're just a liar. We all know we're not perfect. We all know that we've made mistakes. We all know that we fall short from time to time, and we correct those things, we repent of those things, and we pray to God, chapter 2, verse 1, through our advocate, Jesus Christ. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And that's what it means to practice righteousness. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. Yes, we're going to have faults. Yes, we're going to be striving and trying and working, and we're praying about those things. We're confessing those things. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us of those things as we go to our Father and ask for forgiveness. Righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Perhaps we can illustrate this as a little child toward a parent. Jesus tells us we must be converted and become as little children. Do little children make mistakes? Of course they do. The very little ones, before they can hardly even walk, and especially when they're able to get around and walk a little bit and crawl a little bit, sometimes mom or dad have to go up there and swat their bottom a little bit, and you hear the diaper pop. It makes a nice little noise there. Scares them more than, you know, it really hurts them. They make mistakes, but are they practicing sin? No. Are they practicing lawlessness? No. Little child, he's trying to do what the parents want him to do. Is he perfect? No. Is he making mistakes? Yes. Does he have to be trained? Yes. Does he have to be chastised? Yes. And so we are like little children. Are we practicing lawlessness? No. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Do we need to repent and be converted? All these things, like, yes, we do. But yet we're walking in the light. And you are walking in the light. You have fellowship with the apostles through their word, with God, the Son of God, and his blood cleanses you as long as you continue to repent and confess those things and to improve your life. Well, turn with me over to 1 John chapter 2. You know Jesus. Now, this is a very abused expression today in our world. And someone will ask, do you know the Lord? Well, if you say, well, no, I don't know the Lord, they'll tell you, probably, they'll tell you, well, you know what you need to do? You need to say a prayer, receiving Jesus into your life, and he will cleanse you from your sin. My question is, where does the Bible say that? It doesn't say that. Now, this is what the Bible says about knowing the Lord, about knowing Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And he does not command anyone to pray a prayer of faith receiving him into their hearts. That is not in the Bible. What is in the Bible? Well, we'll talk about that later in the lesson as we offer the invitation. We'll talk about that. And if you have done that, then you're walking in the light as a child of God. As long as you continue to correct your mistakes and you repent of those things and confess those things, the blood of Jesus cleanses you of all unrighteousness. Continue on, verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. This is the irony of this. Those who would say, to know Jesus, you simply say a prayer receiving him into your life, many of them will turn around and say, well, once saved, always saved. In other words, you can go throughout your life and sin all that you want to, and you are still saved, and that is the exact opposite of what this passage says. The one who says, I have come to know God and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And that's what the Bible says. If you, walking in the light, keeping the commandments of God, you are the one who knows the Lord. What does this mean to know Jesus? It means to be in a proper relationship with the relationship he has dictated as Lord. How do you illustrate this? I tried to think of an illustration. Sometimes you'll hear the expression, someone will say something, they'll say, you know, you'll do this or that or this or that or this or that, and say, you know what, you just don't know me. I would never do anything like that. Maybe it's like two employees. One employee says, you know, let's get together, let's each steal $1,000. The boss, if he finds out, he's not going to do anything about it. He's just a big chicken. He's not going to do anything about it. And the one employee says, you know what, you don't know your boss. Your boss, he is going to fire you and he is going to do everything he can do to put you in jail and to prosecute you and all this. And you just don't know what you're talking about. Well, the employee says, no, let's steal $1,000. You steal $1,000, I'll steal $1,000. I'm not going to steal that. So, well, I'm going to. He steals that $1,000, and what does the boss do? The boss fires him, he calls the sheriff, he gets him thrown in jail, he prosecutes him, and just all this like that. One knew the person, one did not know the person. And I think that's what it means to know Jesus. We know Jesus, we're in the proper relationship with him as we obey him as Lord, and we know him. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 John chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Throughout this lesson, I'm going to talk about a lot of things that we know as Christians walking in the light. And I tell you what, I hope this really encourages you. It's greatly encouraged me. 1 John 2, verses 10 and 11. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going. Listen to this. And does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The one who is in darkness, who is not in Jesus Christ, who is not obeying the commandments, he is in darkness and he does not know where he's going. I'm sorry to say there are many in religion today who are teaching false religious doctrines, and many are obeying those false religious doctrines, and they think they're going one place and they're going somewhere else because they don't know where they're going. Why is that? Because they don't know Jesus. They don't know his commandments. Turn your Bibles, look with me now, verse 20 and 21. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Now, as those who are walking in the light, having obeyed the commandments of the Lord, you know the commandments. You know the Word of God. And you are saved as a result of rendering obedience, as Peter says in 1 Peter 1:22, having obeyed the truth and purified your souls. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You are walking in the light. You do know Jesus. And therefore you do listen to the word of God. And you learn it. And you do it. Keeping the commandments of God. Turn your Bibles with me back to chapter 3 and verse 6. Chapter 3 and verse 6. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. And this is getting to what we were talking about before. The habitual practice of life. Those who are practicing sin, they're living in sin, that they think about sin, they dwell upon sin, and their whole life from the time they get up in the morning is to do those things which are sinful. Those things, the lusts of the eyes and the flesh and the boastful pride of life, to do those things and accomplish those things. But you are not that way, because you abide in him and you know him. Turn your Bibles with me back over to chapter 2. Because of the things we've talked about, you are in the light, you know the Lord Jesus, the love of God has been perfected in you. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments as a liar, and the truth is not in him. We read that already. But verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. So let's understand this. One who knows the Lord is one in whom the love of God has truly been perfected. Why? Because both are keeping the commandments. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Verse 6. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. And so I want us to understand this. We keep the commandments, and therefore we know Jesus. And the love of God has been perfected in us. And verse 6, as a result, we walk as he walked. As Jesus walked here upon the earth in obedience to God, we are walking in our life. No, we're not practicing sin. We're not practicing lawlessness or unrighteousness. Our practice of life is righteousness. Turn your Bibles with me to chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. The one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You love God. His love is perfected in you. Therefore, you walk in the light. You do not hate God. You do not walk in darkness. And look down verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of God is not in him. Now, you, his love is perfected in you. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. And the one who does the will of God lives forever. Are you doing what God wants? If you're a faithful Christian, you are. You're not perfect. You're striving. You're working. You're improving day by day by day. You're confessing to God your shortcomings. You're praying about these things. Walking in the light. You know the Lord. His love is perfected in you. Turn your Bibles with me over to chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. You are God's child. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. Put in there, such I am. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. You are walking in the light. You know the Lord. The love of God is perfected in you. And so you know that you are saved. And you have this hope. You're seeking to be pure in everything that you do. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. Yes, you're going to sin, but you correct that immediately and you change your life to be what it ought to be, and you have this hope. And you know that when the Lord appears, you will be like him because we will see him just as he is. That is your hope. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. The love of the Father has been perfected in you. Does that mean you never make a mistake? No, that's not what it means. Yes, God knows that we're going to make mistakes, but you correct those mistakes. And because you correct them and you have the love of the Father perfected in you, demonstrated by the love you have for your brethren, then you know you have passed out of death and into life. Are you doing what God wants? Yes, you are. Verses 17 through 19. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him. Now this assure our hearts means that we are confident, we are persuaded, confident that we are saved. Because we see that the love of God has been perfected in us. We see how it changes our life and we see what we do as a result of that. And therefore, we are confident, we are sure of our salvation. Turn your Bibles with me to chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. We're just continuing on, 23 through 24. This is his commandment, that we believed in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And now 1 John chapter 4, should be verses 17 and 18. Chapter 4, 17 and 18. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world, as was said already in chapter 3. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishments. And the one who fears is not perfected in love, but you've been perfected in love. And so fear is cast out. Because you love God and the commitment in your life and the things which you are doing in obedience to the commandments, you are confident in your salvation and your heart is assured before God. And there's no reason to fear judgments. As a matter of fact, as the children of God, we enter into judgment with confidence and being assured that God is faithful. Very quickly, I want to share with you some things that we know from the very end of John. Chapter 5. We know that we have eternal life. And you know, this is the reason for writing the entire epistle. Chapter 1, verse 4, he writes these things so that their joy may be full. He writes these things, chapter 5, verse 13, so that they know they have eternal life. And brethren, we can know that we have eternal life. And if we're doing the things that God would have us to do, faithful to him, doing the work he would have us to do. Yes, we all have different crosses to bear. We all have different things in our lives and different things we must overcome and deal with. But if we are faithful to God, a faithful Christian, we know that we have eternal life. Absolutely, without any doubt. We know that God hears our prayers, chapter 5, verse 15. And because He hears our prayers, He answers. Even when the answer is no, we know as Christians that that is the absolute best thing for us right now, and there's no doubt about that. Walking in the light and knowing the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 18, we know that He keeps us from the evil one. As Jesus taught the disciples to pray to God to keep them away from temptation, we know that God is keeping us from the evil one, that we will not fall prey to him, that we will not come under his control. Are there temptations? Yes. Are there difficulties? Yes. Are times going to be trying? Yes, sometimes they're very hard and they're very difficult, but there will never be a situation where there is never a way of escape, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The way is always there, it's always provided by God, and every single time we have the strength to succeed as Christians. You know that you are of God, not of the devil, but of God. You are His child. That's what you know. And you know that Jesus has come, that He's given you understanding, that you're in Him who is true, and that you have eternal life, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we answer the question, do you know you're doing what God wants? The answer is yes, you are doing what God wants. If you're here this morning and a faithful Christian, are you perfect? No. Are you still striving and trying to do the very best that you can do? Yes. Do you slip and do you make mistakes and do you sin? Yes. Is your habitual practice of life sin and lawlessness? No. Is your habitual practice of life righteousness? Yes. You are doing what God wants. Chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. Let's summarize and begin to offer the gospel invitation. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become a Christian and you can walk in the light. You can know God today and you can be certain of eternal life today. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now this word to believe Jesus is the Christ, that is to believe that He is the Messiah, the one who came, who gave the commandments of God, and because of that you render obedience to the Lord. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of God. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now if you believe that today, truly believe that, you'll be a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today. Believing Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the one whom I must obey. I must keep His commandments. And what has He commanded us to do? He's commanded us to repent. That is to change our way of life. If we're going the wrong way, turn around and go the right way. You might say, well, I don't know the right way. I say, well, we'll show you from the Word of God. But you need to make the commitment right now. He's told us to confess before men that He is the Son of God, that this is our faith, that He came from heaven. He is God's Son. He is Lord of lords, King of kings. I must obey Him, and I'm going to render that obedience. And then to submit to being baptized, to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. You'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You'll be added to the church. You'll begin that moment to walk in the light because you know the Lord, and you'll immediately know that you have eternal life and that you'll live in heaven. The lesson's yours. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become one. Won't you do that? If we can help you at all, won't you step to the front now as we stand and as we sing.